by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven a bit.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
This second hour is with Wei Jing Zhang. Siping Wang was doing the translation. And we had quite a conversation. Wei Jing Zhang heads up the Wei Jing Zhang Foundation. And this was a number of years ago, about 11 years ago, I did this interview. But it was a real insight into what is going on, what was going on in China at the time. And this is a first-hand witness that battled the communist government for many years. He was put in prison twice. The first time it was 15 years, and then the second time was 3 years. And of all people that brought him out was Bill Clinton during Bill Clinton's administration. And he was able to extricate Wei Jingzhang from China. And today, Wei Jingzhang, along with Siping Wang, heads up the Wei Jingzhang Foundation in Washington, D.C. I will have a click-off on the secrettruth.com site, and where you'll be able to go in there and click off and get, listen to this. And also there's 2 hours. There's a 1 hour before this particular hour, and then this particular hour follows that. We're only going to be broadcasting the second hour of the Wei Jingzhang interview with myself, George Butler. This was on We the People Radio Network about 11 years ago. And anyway, I'm putting this up because of the danger that China poses, not only to the United States, but also to the West. We've had a lot of things going on. And my first hour on this weekend broadcast was about the coronavirus. And Alex Jones, along with Francis Boyle and Mike Adams, I featured them primarily because they got into the coronavirus in a very deep and insightful way. And we've got to be very careful with this virus. It has a transmissibility rate that was, you could say, biowarfare engineered into this virus, which it does, it's asymptomatic the first week, the first 2 to 3 weeks. They increased it maybe up to 24 days, which would be more than 3 weeks. But somewhere between 2 weeks up to 24 days, there are no, this asymptomatic characteristic, asymptomatic characteristic of this virus makes it very, transmittable from person to person with airborne type of infection and catching of this virus. So this is nothing to fool around with, and it's a very, very dangerous virus. Other things that happened during this week is we had the debate between the five, there were five debaters, Democratic debaters, and this was the first time that Bloomberg participated in the debate, and he was hammered. My gosh, he was hammered about his apologizing for Frisk, Stop and Frisk, which he presided over in New York City. And then he also was hammered by these non-disclosure agreements that he made. Some women within his organization evidently felt like that they were violated or whatever under his management. And so they brought suit against him or complaints, and he settled, some claims against harassment or something. But anyway, I don't really have the details on that. So anyway, they hammered him on that. They hammered him because he has all this money. And then he has shown, he said in there also, when they were giving out their web addresses for contributions and stuff, he said, well, I don't need the money. You know, I mean, so he's very arrogant. Mike Bloomberg is very, very arrogant. And so now Clint Eastwood just recently endorsed him, according to, you know, an interview just that was conducted just recently. So we don't know exactly, what or why, that happened. Okay. But, anyway, that did occur. And so we're just trying to see, what that had to do with the current. I know Clint Eastwood is getting up there in age now. And so there are people that are somehow, you think of him as a real conservative, and I think he's been conservative, in the past, okay? But anyway, this is an ongoing, you could say, turmoil. And, now we have today, is the caucus in, Nevada. And so we hope to get, returns in as soon as possible on that. Our broadcast is going out, Saturday night, February the 22nd, which is today. And we start between 7 and 9, usually, is our broadcast, time. This country, we had Dinah West, on the first hour, and she is, Betrayal of America was one of her first books, and The Red Thread is another one. And she really gets in to some deep insight into the communist infiltration that has occurred not only in our government, but in all areas, you could say, in a way. We had, Leon Trotsky actually was here in 1917 in this country. And he was in the New York area setting up red communist cells, for overthrow and of America. And, he was called back to participate in the Bolshevik Revolution, in, St. Petersburg. That's, St. Petersburg was the capital of Russia, at the time. It was not Moscow. They moved to Moscow later, but he was called back there. And, what happened was this, the Woodrow Wilson government gave him and his comrades, United States passports, and he was on a freighter and went to Finland and went in by rail into Russia that way. So, this is an important aspect that Leon Trotsky, an early revolutionary, had American backing, and there's books on this that show, conclusively, without a doubt, that the ultra-capitalists had been backing the world communist movement. And that's very important to know, that aspect. I've been covering it for quite a while. That's why McCarthy, who was accusing our government of being infiltrated by communist sympathizers or communists or socialists. And he was right, but he made some mistakes on some of his accusations and so forth. And they actually cut his head off. And now he's McCarthyism. That's all the students ever have to talk about. The Venona intercepts, which were an ASA mission, Army Security Agency mission, uncovered the fact that there were up to 200 people on messages that the ASA intercepted and broke the codes and were able to read those messages. And many of the people, Alger Hess and many others, show up, their names show up in those messages. To prove that, yes, there was a large communist operation to take over America, but actually it's been using different techniques of Marxist enculturating, changing the culture into a Marxist type of culture. Well, anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you'll enjoy this hour that I interviewed Wei Xinjiang and Xi Ping Wong, and they were both just very brilliant, understanding people. Thank you.
Welcome back to World Review Commentary. This is your host, George Butler. My guest today is Mr. Wei Xinjiang, along with Xi Ping Wang. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for inviting us.
In China today, what is the average income on a monthly basis? What does the average Chinese worker make labor in China today? In American.
现在在中国，那个一般人工资多少？也取的工人工资每个月。工人的工资大概每个月的工资能合到五六十个美元。About 50-60 American dollars each month for the workers.
Okay. Now, has that improved, though, since they've opened up the economy to the outside? Was it much less than that, say, a decade ago?
他说那个是不是那个随着经济的发展，他们的工资涨高了，比方说比十年前。没有，实际上和十年前的工资相比，实际购买力还下降了。 Well, no, not really. If in comparison with the purchase power, the reality is their capacity to buy goods is less than what they have 10 years ago.
See, so if you adjust it for inflation, it's not that much better because
mm-hmm.
the cost of goods is a lot higher to live, food and so forth. Is that what he's saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The inflation is getting very bad.
I see. What are some of the problems internally now? Are there pollution problems and traffic problems? And is China going to start consuming more and more gasoline
mm-hmm.
and drive up the price of the crude oil?
Mm-hmm.
实际上环境问题和能源消耗问题是一个非常严重的问题。 现在甚至超过了经济发展的速度，现在恶化得非常快。
The environmental problem as well as the pollution problem, they are so bad that to such a degree that they are worse than what they could gain from economic development in China.
So this thing about free markets and so forth, it was to open it up to the international corporations to come in. Is that true?
但是所谓自由经济，其实为了让这些超级的那个公司能够进入中国，不是吗？所谓自由经济呢，其实并不是面对所有的中国人或者外国人，他们只是跟政府有关系或者拉上关系的这些中国和外国的这些大企业。
So-called free economy is not really associated, say, with any arbitrary people or arbitrary Chinese or outside China, but it's more associated with people who has governmental connections in China.
Your book, The Courage to Stand Alone, Letters from Prison and Other Writings, I started reading some of those letters that you had written, Mr. Wei, to some of the top leadership in China. And you didn't hold anything back, did you? I mean, you let it all hang out. You said it like it was. I mean, you were standing on truth. It seemed is that the way that you wrote those letters?
他说你在你的那个监狱的书信集里头，好像什么话都敢讲，给那些最高领导人，是不是当时的情况？这个当时实际上是什么话都敢讲，但是前提就是你得随时准备让人家处死你。
Yes, indeed, I
was determined to say whatever I want, but on the other side, I was fully prepared for them to kill me at any time.
So you stood there, imprisoned, and you said it, you established your principles, and you did not waver. Is that true?
他说，所以你在那里，监狱里面有你的原则，你不会放弃，是吧？对，当然。 Of course, I would not.
So your message is that to the world today, is that true?
是这个意思。我希望那个话呢，是对整个世界说的。当然，实际上看到他的人非常少。Yes,
exactly. I hope my words was speaking to the whole world. Of course, the people who read that was very limited.
When people utter your name today, they know where you stand. Because I really admire both of your work and your efforts in this area. Because when they say Wei Jingzhang and they say Xi Ping Wang, they know what you stand for. Today in America, people are wavering around too much, and it's about money. That's what it seems like to me. What do you think?
他说那个立场上的魏晶晶什么，人家就知道你的立场。那么呢，他说的可是现在呢，好像感觉就是。 Well, I have the similar concern because I think money has too much influence, including in American politics, and it could be already affecting the democracy in America.
I think an example maybe would be this. That's a good statement. I think an example may be this House Resolution 1955, because it looks like it's been put forward to protect the two parties that are in power.
他说的那个他怎么感觉？他说现在国会在讨论一个1955的议案，好像他们在保护那两个党的那个这个利益似的。
That's sort of what it seems like to me, is that it's put forward to muzzle somewhat dissent on the internet or anything else, but it's sort of disguised as an anti-terrorist bill.
他说，然后呢，那个这表面上呢，确实说反恐的那个议案，他说有点像把头给放在这个沙子里头一样。
What does he think about that?
我觉得言论自由还是对于民主社会来说是至关重要的生命性的东西。如果没有言论自由的话，没有这个各种其他的不同的意见的话，那么这个民主社会就会僵化，就会死掉。Freedom
of speech and the freedom of information is very important to any democratic society. And if without that, then the freedom and democracy could die.
So it looks like that this money thing that we're talking about just earlier is having an effect on America. It has for a long time. But it seems like it's been building up from hundreds to thousands to millions to billions now. And so it's so overwhelmingly powerful. What do you think?
他说你是怎么感觉？我觉得这个大企业的这种影响力啊，包括通过各种途径捐款啊等等，还有一些看不见的钱的作用呢，已经严重的影响到美国的政治。美国的政治几乎做的所有决策都在受到钱的影响。我想这个已经远远违背了这个民主的基本精神，因为老百姓的意见有时候虽然占上风，也不能够左右政府的决定。我想这是很危险的一个状况。I
think the money come from the bigger business has so much influence American politics and thus endanger its democracy. And that I'm concerned the average American people's voice are not as strong as the money spokes. And this is getting very serious.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. People are apathetic in this country. They look at sports all the time instead of politics. Distractions. Is the money in China becoming, will it become a problem too, like it has here?
我想在中国钱的影响力不那么大，因为那些少数占据了少数的那些垄断政治的这些政治家，他们的影响力是最大的。
In China, in comparison, money do not play as important a role. That's because the very, very few politicians who take the power and took in the charge of the government, they have the enormous overwhelming power, after all.
So they already have the power and the money. They don't need the money because they're in a position of power. And, of course, with that comes privileges. Is that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in place of the money, it's just power and privileges and the right to do what you want.
Yeah, if you have a power, you get money, and you got the privilege
and
everything.
Then you don't need the money, right?
Exactly.
You got the power. You can do what you want
so
to. Thus, it's like having money, right?
Yeah, that's why they want to maintain a one-party dictatorship, and that was more for their interests instead of a so-called communist ideology.
I see. Are they still teaching that in the schools, this communist ideology?
Yes, very much so. It's very laughable.
And there's no, they don't waver from that. It's all communism, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the name of a communist, they took away everything from the average folks for themselves.
That's a very funny communist.
So it's their own brand of communism, right?
Yeah, that's why they always say, yes, we have a democracy. We have our own brand, the Chinese character, the democracy, whatever that
is. So what they're trying to do is they put a facade up. Is that right? Like
mm-hmm.
on it's just a way of to mask what's really going on. It's just a publicity type of
Exactly, of
stunt or an overture. I see.
Yes, and they often Chinese. There is a very good Chinese phrase to describe, and it's called you allow the official to burn the house down, but you would not let the average folks to lit the candles.
Oh, I see. My gosh. That's something else.
That's a reality in China nowadays.
Now, in China today, there's a television is there, and is radio an important part of Chinese culture today?
Yes.
Okay, but it's all controlled by the government, and so it's restricted on what they can say, right?
Oh, it's strictly restricted. Not even that. Even internet, any since public news media, magazines, newspapers. Take this as an example. Any news item must be approved by the Xinhua news agent, and that's the Communist Party's voice. And then on the internet, they have hired hundreds of thousands of internet police patrolling.
Those monitors are on there, right?
Yes.
Police, internet police. And what is their job? To go in and look at pages and see what people are spying on people on the internet?
Yeah, they have all sorts of works. If you say anything they didn't like, they would delete your entry on the chat room or on some forums, and if you have something they didn't like on your website, they could close down your website. And then as well as take as an example, they also nowadays with the internet to be global scale the operation, they closely monitor different activities, including like what I said, that the Shitao person got sentenced for 10 years due to Yahoo's, and basically the Chinese internet police, that's their job again, to reach the Yahoo, I think it was the headquarters in Hong Kong, and that's how they got that information, and about Shitao. And then they also, recently they have one more exciting job, is they send a massive mailing list to all the dissidents, portray them as another dissident, and with attachment contain all sorts of virus, including Trojan's horse, etc.
In other words, you're talking about sting operations, but there's viruses being sent with some of that stuff to take out their internet operations, their software and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My God.
And then they are so fast. They are all over the internet. I mean, of course, they have all sorts of operations spying on or quietly, or they just offend. They just come to. I mean, all sorts of people. They just put those spying all over every corner in the internet, and to such efficiency that often those posters could only last a few minutes.
My gosh.
Yeah.
One woman once said that WWW stands for Worldwide Wiretap.
Yeah.
WWW. Because what they've done is, if you look at the semantic web idea is a new level of the internet above what we have been accustomed to in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is, that I see, is they're defining within the internet
mm-hmm.
certain definitions of terms and words, but redefining a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's subtle stuff. It's very subtle, but it's programmed into the whole system.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's against freedom. See, it looks like it's free. You know, you're free to go here and there, but you're being looked at and monitored the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And you could also see in regarding internet monitoring and the surveillance, etc., Chinese government has been able to get the very best technology and equipment from the United States. And thus the result is in reality, they have been not only doing it all those themselves, but also they have been doing that
they also not only doing themselves, but they also have been trying to spread those equipment to the other dictatorial governments, you know, including places like the North Korea. And they could, what they did is they, even recently, I think just not so long ago, recently they bought those kind of company in, I think one of them is in San Diego, for like $250 million or whatever. And I think this kind of, I think American, for the very fact the American government let them do those kind of operation itself has already damaged the freedom and the democracy of the American
people. It's becoming high tech to control and spy on people. It's all high tech now through the internet.
Oh yes, including cell phones.
Just like, didn't they limit the cell phone calls to Mr. Wei's phone in Narita Airport?
Yes.
So they could program that.
Yeah, and I was not able to reach them.
That's right. Yes. So they could selectively block certain numbers reaching him there.
Exactly.
We've got to take another break here in a second, but we'll be right back, and then we'll continue this conversation. Thank you very much. Welcome back to World Review Commentary. I'm your host, George Butler. Welcome back, Mr. Wei and Si Ping Wong.
Hello.
Yes, welcome back to the program. Are there shortwave receivers, radio receivers allowed in China?
There is. And many Chinese have learned it, and in an effort to listen to broadcasting such as Radio Free Asia and Voice of America and other countries like BBC. And however, Chinese government also tried to shield those signals, especially in the major cities.
Or so they're jamming those signals?
Yes, very much so. And they, I think shielding is not correct words, because they use the new, more successful method. So they put their central government station with all those heavy music over the.
Oh, so they're just playing their own broadcast on the same frequency.
Exactly.
And it overrides that other freedom broadcast.
Yes, exactly. And Mr. Wei, his regular appearance on Radio Free Asia and usually on radio.
What all stations has Mr. Wei appeared on? I'd like to ask him that question. Which different programs and stations has he appeared on over the years?
I think he has been appearing
on about all of them?
Dozens of different virtually every country. He appear regularly, weekly on Radio Free Asia, and both him and myself would appear on Voice of America. They have a television. They have.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and which is very good. I mean,
yes, it is.
Just 2 weeks ago, I had an appearance which I make communication from the question, to discuss the issues and then answer questions from the viewers inside of China. So it gave me a very good communication opportunity with them. And then 1 week ago, Mr. Wei had one, basically was debating about the 17th Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. And it was a debate issue, and which was very good. And each time after the broadcast, we would hear feedback from inside of China. And then Mr. Wei, I think he virtually was, wherever we go, and he would receive some interviews.
Yeah, like my own program here, which we're not the biggest program, but we're dedicated to what y'all are doing, really.
Oh, I'm really, I told Mr. Wei this morning, I said I was really impressed with what you were doing, and especially your World View program. Of course, you discuss a very wide range of politics, and in this global world,
yes,
I think it's really feedback.
You know, Si Ping, that's a very important point. they're taking this fascist and this dictatorship worldwide now. That's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. I see it systematically, you know, being organized worldwide.
Uh-huh. And I think it's important for Americans to pay attention on world affairs. And because the world affair in reality has a direct impact to Americans' own lives. And in particular, I think for decades, America has been a leader of freedom and democracy, and they should not, they should maintain such a leading role, and they should not, you know, just, say, going back their own life and worry about it. And after all, even you want to be disassociated with others, but others are not, such as like a Chinese government.
You know, Charlotte Littlefield Brown, you know, my co-host on the other program, The Secret Truth,
mm-hmm.
and I are traveling to Philadelphia next week. Next Friday, we get on the plane and fly there.
Oh, good.
And mm-hmm. there's going to be an alliance between this radio station, We the People Radio Network,
uh-huh.
that we're broadcasting on now,
uh-huh.
and then Genesis, which broadcasts our Secret Truth program.
Uh-huh.
And they're providing us 4 hours to broadcast Ron Paul's speech there delivered to the Liberty Rally 2007
uh-huh.
on next Saturday.
Oh, that sounds very exciting.
And it's part of the Independence Mall complex.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to restore America to the old republic that we all love so very much.
Yeah, I was really hoping that the American could have just as much positive influence as they had in the past. My dad always was talking about, you know, when he was alive, he always talking about during World War II, and when China was under invasion of the Japanese. You know, of the Japanese,
yes,
and the American has a tremendous influence. He was just an average boy, but, you know, he still remembers all vividly what American did, you know, and of course, especially when they obviously are starving to death, American airplanes dropped the cans over
really?
Their village.
Cans of food.
Yeah, and they survived.
Yeah, we've got to get America back to those days where we were viewed as a liberating country and
yeah.
our ideas and principles. And that's what y'all believe in. I know that's what y'all are trying to bring back to China.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Is that right?
That's very good. Yeah, I really hope that would be happening.
Well, I hope so, too. But we'll be there at Independence Hall there and, you know, where the Declaration of actually the Declaration was signed actually in what they call the Carpenter's Hall,
uh-huh.
which is right close by. It's a it's the first labor union in America.
That's
it was made up of carpenters, you know,
uh-huh.
and
yes.
they had a hall that they built there in Philadelphia called Carpenter's Hall,
uh-huh.
and the Declaration was actually signed there. Later on, the Independence Hall, what we visualize or what we know as Independence Hall now, was actually the State House of Pennsylvania at the time.
That's right. Now you say yeah. it. Yeah.
See, so we think of that, you know, the Independence Hall was the Independence Declaration of Independence, but it actually
it was
entitled a little bit different back then too. It was called the Manifesto of Freedom. I don't know if you know that.
Uh-huh.
The actual, what became commonly known as the Declaration of Independence
uh-huh.
was originally entitled the Democratic Manifesto of Freedom.
Oh, that's
yes.
Yeah, that's
and,
very
and,
good.
And it was between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson as to who would draw up that declaration.
Uh-huh.
And John Adams pushed it off on Thomas Jefferson. Okay.
They were lifetime.
They were actually rivals at the time.
Rival and
they were at odds with each other, but you know they died on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that
yes.
history is so sometimes fascinating.
Yes, it is. But it was originally called the Manifesto of Freedom,
uh-huh.
and it set out certain things. It related back to the natural law that we were talking about earlier. You know that
yeah.
I was talking about earlier before y'all came on. It's outside of what man can create. It's God's creation.
Yeah.
And that's the way they related the Declaration and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a matter of fact,
Mr. Wei had a huge portrayal or a window, display window of him in a museum next to it. It's called the National Liberty Museum.
Where's that?
It's right on Chestnut Street, just to the east.
Oh, really? They're in Philadelphia?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just a few months ago, Mr. Wei was invited to give a speech in the place, which now they have built a new complex or building called the National Constitution Center. Very, very nice building.
Well, that's where we're going to hold our rally.
Oh, neat. That area has been beautiful now. And so he gave a speech there.
I wish y'all could come up there and join us. I wish y'all could join us on the 10th.
That's too bad because he just happened. This is the first time in this year he's going on his way to Texas, your place.
Oh, on the 10th?
Yeah, I think he's going to Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Okay,
yeah.
We're headed up to Philadelphia. Y'all coming down here, right?
That's right. Maybe next time we could coordinate back.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. That's great. We've got to take a break here.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back.
Good.
Okay, thank you so very much. Welcome back to World Review Commentary. Welcome back, Mr. Wei and Si Ping Wang.
Hello. Hello, Judge.
So Mr. Wei is going to come down to Dallas on the 10th of November. Is that right?
No, I think he's departing on 8th. Yes.
On the 8th. Okay, but he'll be down here during that time.
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad. But I'll tell you what, could you email me that address of that display there, that museum? I'd like to go to that when I'm there in Philadelphia.
Okay, sure.
On Chestnut.
Yes.
Those streets were named by with tree names, I think.
Yes, Chestnut.
Yeah,
yes, the maples.
Yeah, all those, you know, the streets right around the downtown area there. I'd like to go there and view that that display. It'd be very, very important to me.
Yeah, and I really thought that they had a very, very good, it's called the National Liberty Museum.
Yes.
And where they displays many world figures who have been fighting for democracy, such as the Leading Hall, which Mr. Wei is. There is Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and those kind of people, Martin Luther King, who had to contribute to
Mr. Wei.
Mr. Wei himself. But unfortunately, I think all of the others were dead except him.
They did what now?
All the others are dead.
Oh, that's right. Well, he's a living...
He's only living...
He's a living legend, right? Tell him that in Chinese. Is there a word for that, living legend?
That's right.
Well, I can tell my children that I know a living legend, right? When I was
yeah, and I think
that's wonderful though.
Yeah, I think they did it very well. Apparently, they spend a lot of time to do education to the children program, and
that's a wonderful thing.
Teachers, and I really think that's great. It's on the same street as the Independence Hall.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll look it up and go down there because I certainly want to, Charlotte. Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I will go down there and visit that.
Great.
We might even incorporate that into the rally, the Liberty Rally. It's Liberty Rally 2007. It would be a natural thing to combine with the rally.
Yeah, I think that's.
Or at least we could put a location on there of what that museum is all about, and people could visit there.
Uh huh. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, I will send you the information.
Oh, okay. But anyway, we've got some turmoil over there, close by. It's not right next door to China, but what are Mr. Wei's views on, this latest thing in Pakistan? What's going on there? Do y'all get any information from the Pakistan area or not?
Uh-huh.
我觉得巴基斯坦民主是一个非常艰难的过程，但是总是被这个军事独裁打断。这个缅甸情况很相似。
Mr. Wei said that he felt that the democracy process in Pakistan is a very, very difficult one, and it always interrupted by the military, dictatorship.
Yes, the military always interfered with any new thriving democracy. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so this is in some way very, very similar to Burma too.
Yes, we had a couple of editors from a publication that were Burmese. They were actually from Burma, but they were publishing their newspaper in India because they could no longer, live there in Burma.
Yes, so we know quite a few Burmese in similar case, and they were all over the world except in Burma itself. I think now it's similar to Chinese. You could do a lot of things outside of China, but it's very hard to do anything inside of China.
Yes, it's very difficult to do that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we interviewed these two. They have a site over there. Well, actually, they have a U.S. campaign for Burma, which is One Freedom Movement, and then the Mazima News is over in India. We interviewed the people there, by telephone.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a similar case as Tibetans. Tibetan government in exile, including Dalai Lama, resides in India, and they have members all over the world. One thing I was really moved is this time for the gold medal ceremony
yes.
of the Dalai Lama, there were Tibetans come from all over the world.
They did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were invited by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to attend the ceremony, and also as a VIPs sitting in the front row. And also I was kind of counting the people and such. Conveniently, and there were thousands of people there.
Really?
And later on, we met some more Tibetans, and I was very, very deeply moved, and so does Mr. Wei, of their dedication for freedom.
So they traveled virtually thousands of miles to be there.
Oh, yeah, people from Europe, all over the world, and Europe, Mongolians, and India. There were some even sneak out of Tibet. I don't know how did they do it.
Yeah, that's what was dangerous about Burma. They cracked down on the Burmese priest, the Buddhist
mm-hmm.
priest there.
Yeah, and those, I think, they really serve as a role on the moral role model,
yes,
as
they
moral
do.
Authority.
And that's why, they joined in the demonstrations, and then the government comes back and cracks down on the priests because to destroy them, they're the movement.
Yeah, that's
they were
that's
the moral authority, is that right?
Yeah, they had similar situation, very similar situation with the Tibetans, too. And we met a lot of monks, and they really, the Buddhist monk, and they really follow this moral example of peace, nonviolence. They try to fight for their freedom.
Sure. Yeah. In China today, is there still a lot of dissent and disgruntling people and very disheartened people that really want freedom to return, but they can't because of the government power?
Oh,
is that building up? Is that building up in number?
Oh. It's building up more and more, but I always like to say, it's a little fire for freedom and democracy, and then Chinese government always use the paper to cover it up, but the issue is the fire will break out one day eventually, So I think that China has already come to this stage, and you see how fast the former Soviet Union collapsed. I was invited to the former Soviet Union back in 1990, and even that time you would see this country in a shape pretty much like China nowadays. And then of course that was on the verge of a collapse. It happened so quick. So
dynamics could take over. You think?
Oh yeah, definitely.
At any time, when you get enough people that are fed up and that are striving to be free, things could happen for the good.
Without doubt, because you would kind of see what the Chinese for two indications which reveal very well. One is that every year the what the Chinese government categorizing as the people's rights, okay, which including demonstration protest in larger scale, and the rate goes up year after year. I think last year was like 80,000, more than 80,000 incident. And the other side is also revealed by how the people would, people would respond to us. They were what? That I knew it's enough to send them to jail, but they would still speak up for them, and they would try to contact outside the world. And I think that's, number one, is very brave, but number two, of course, is the danger, but in some way, people just cannot hold them much longer, you know. So the suppression could only have this much effect.
And then after that, it's just going to happen. I hope and pray that your work and Mr. Wei's work will come to fruition in China, and China will be free again. That's what I want.
We have the confidence of that, especially now with the 2008 Beijing Olympics, and you could see both sides are very paying a lot of attention. The Chinese government is getting very nervous, so they already start to crack down the dissident movement inside of China. And when the other side was, of course, we all take this as an opportunity for the whole world to see what's happening in China. And one thing makes the Chinese government surely very scared of is, if you recall, not to mention 1980, there was this Olympic in Moscow, which was boycotted by the West, and which had a major effect. But in particular, it's the South Korea. It has a direct impact due to Olympics to get their democracy.
We've got to cut away here for a second, but I have a surprise for both you and Mr. Wei when we return, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back. Thank you very much. Welcome back to World Review Commentary. This is George Butler, and I'm going to be playing for a little song here in a second. Welcome back, Mr. Wei and Xi Ping Wang.
Hello.
I've got a little treat for you here, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you remember back when I wrote this this musical.
Mm-hmm.
The Light a Little Candle song.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. This ends our play, and just bear with me here, and I'll have it up and playing for you just in a second, okay? You hear that now?
Yes.
This is dedicated to Mr. Wei and Xi Ping Wang for your work and your dedication to freedom. No one's ever heard this before.
Hold it close to your heart.
That's dedicated to you. I'm almost crying in the studio here.
Yeah,
Mr. Wei,
thank you very much.
Xi Ping Wang, y'all are wonderful people.
Thank you for all the support.
And that song came out of the Tiananmen Square. It was inspired by what went on there that June 4th.
Yeah.
I know you have been supporting Chinese democracy and freedom over the last 18 years.
Well, I have tears in my eyes to tell you the truth right now, because, you know, I just feel so strongly about what y'all have done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and we really appreciate.
No one's ever heard that. Y'all are the first to hear that on radio. So
that's really honored.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to where do we go from here? You're still continuing your work and Mr. Wei's work and traveling all over the world, right?
Yes. Mr. Wei is invited by the European Parliament. So we are leaving probably end of this month for Europe. And probably all over Europe are trying to promoting democracy and freedom. And in particular, I think Mr. Wei was invited by the European Union as the, he was the winner of the past Sakharov Prize by the European Union. And they awarded to those freedom fighting people. And he has been giving speeches and in effort to push the European Union's to do something more good for China, and which I think the good thing is the Europeans, I think they are getting aware of the problem of the bigger business influence with China, as well as they realize the economic development in China does not necessarily mean political and social reforms in China. So I think they finally come to the stage more enthusiastic to do something for China, such as recently the German chancellor just had a meeting with the Dalai Lama and such. So I think those are all very positive development, and we were happy. And Mr. Wei, whenever Mr. Wei showed up, they would really listen to him. And I think either people or officials would try to take measures in response, as well as the news media.
You know, you never know when you're going to touch the heart, the right heart.
Yeah. That's,
is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, Mr. Wei, has he touched some hearts along the way?
Yes.
What does he think about that? It comes down to emotions and aspirations for people to be to foment goodness. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What does Mr. Wei think about that? Touching hearts, yeah.
First, you have to be caring the others, then the others would accept you.
Okay, I see. That's something else. It's people are emotional, aren't they?
Oh, of course, human are emotional. Even little dog, little cats are very emotional.
But humor, what is it about humor? Does it visit us at a deeper place in our psyche?
Humor would be, yes, I think it would be in your psyche. And sometimes beyond the prediction.
You know what I did the other day?
Yeah.
I had a confrontation with someone or a company, or it was a political confrontation.
Uh-huh.
And I was disappointed, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I thought back to that first interview we had months ago, you know, and Mr. Wei said that he was in solitary confinement, what, for 4 to 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought back, well, my little tip is nothing. you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
My little disappointment and my little impatience in being impatient is nothing compared to Mr. Wei's problems, right?
Yes.
So my little deals don't mean anything. you know what I'm saying?
Well, you always have a long goal to push over something.
Huh?
Yes, I agree. I agree. And it's remarkable that after 18 years, you know.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He can still laugh about things, right? Is that mm-hmm. where the humor still enters in?
Oh, yes. I hope
Even
so.
Though it was terrible and it was diabolical at times, he can still look back and with some humor at certain points, huh?
Yeah, I think he's optimistic, and humor surely make him last, because I saw many political prisoners, and you could see the trace of prison and abusement to have done on them.
Oh,
and
I remember now when he answered that question, I came back and I told him he must be the most optimistic person in the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope
when we were talking
someday.
About the solitary confinement for 4 to 5 years,
yes.
And he said, well, I stayed there, I was patient. I told him, I said, you're the most patient person in the world.
Yeah,
that's a good tribute. That's a wonderful characteristic.
Yes, I agree.
So y'all are going to continue to travel the world and put the word out and try to bring freedom back to China, and not
yes.
only China. Actually, you're speaking for everyone, are you not?
Yes, and I think our effort will also have a touch with the Tibetans, the Uyghurs, the Mongolians, and so that's a fact. 1 year ago, we had established Asian Democracy Alliance here in the capital. And which I think we are doing very good on coordination and cooperation to each other.
Yes, and Charlotte and I are going to be in D.C., Washington, D.C. on the 11th.
Oh, on the 11th.
And we're going to go out to the Vietnam War Memorial, and we're going to broadcast a remote broadcast there that morning on this program. Actually, it's going to be a live program.
Well, that's too bad because we are not here, because otherwise I would love to meet you.
Yes,
and I'm sure Mr. Wade
We'll do it again sometime. We're going to, of course, Philadelphia on the 10th, and the 11th we'll be in Washington, D.C., and then we're going back to New York on the Ground Zero on that Monday.
Well, I think I have confidence you will have a very good broadcasting on those from those places. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. We're doing a little bit. We're not, you know, we're just doing a little part. You know, we're a little part of a big movement, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I think your efforts and your little part will play big.
Well, there's
sure.
a lot of grains of sand on the beach to make up the beach, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Millions or billions of little grains of sand make up the total beach, I guess, and that's what it takes.
Yes, and I think you have already, I see your contribution and your effect.
In our closing moments here, we've got a minute and a half to go. What would Wei Jing's closing comments be to the people in the world?
I think to all the people on this world, you must remember to guard your rights. To guard your rights. Only this way, then you could have your democracy and freedom.
Well, that is the best advice that anyone could give. We're going to stand up that song right there. You hear that song?
Yes.
That's the Red, White, and Blue March.
Ah.
I'm going to donate that to Ron Paul. On the 10th to his campaign, and he's a stand-up man, Ron Paul is. He believes in freedom, and he really wants to get back to a constitutional government.
Well, freedom is the goal for all the
fight. This man is a stand-up man. Thank you very much for being on the program, and thank you, Mr. Wei.
Thank you,
Judge. And we'll be in touch again, and we'll be some contact through email, through Charlotte and everybody.
Yes, I will.
So thank you very much for your contribution and your battle for freedom worldwide.
Oh, we'll fight together.
It's a worldwide freedom. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.